May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 44. Here, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands, and on me justly mightst thou pour thy wrath in one eternal shell. Hymn number 44.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, from verse 22. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, from verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein two his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. O verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live for ever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, for the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us pray. Most gracious, blessed, holy God, oh, we pray for the realities of the Holy Spirit to be in our spirit, in our midst, in our heart, that we may know whom we worship. We do feel often to worship afar off, but we pray that there may be the nearness of the words of grace in our heart, that our soul may be affected with the dew of heaven. We come as we are. We can't pretend. Lord, we come as we are, as needy and poor sinners still. And Lord, we look to the fullness, a fullness of grace, a fullness of mercy, a fullness of righteousness, a fullness of truth, and pray that our soul may be given a longing, an inquiry after this fullness of eternal life. We have read that he that eateth of this bread shall never die. In another place he shall live forever. Although we in the flesh have got to die, yet let my soul live. It shall praise thee. And so, dear Lord, we do pray for the Holy Ghost to seal the truth upon our heart. The truth as it stands in Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And dear Lord, we pray for the blessings to be opened of thy death, of thy precious death in our own place, that we may be among those, and pray for reviving of it. Lord, that we may know thou hast died for me and given thy life a ransom, and that my sins were atoned for, answered on the cross. Pray that we may know the life and power of the resurrection, even this evening hour, in reviving us, in making us alive to eternal blessings. Oh, we come to worship, we pray, that we may not just come in the open ways of formality, having a form of godliness without the power, but we pray that the word may be made flesh to us, and our soul may feed on the word of God, a God manifest in flesh, the word of grace. The word was with God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Dear Lord, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we pray that we may feel thy life in our own breast, and that we may feel the sweet flowings out unto thee in love. Oh, do bless us then as we gather. May there be a weight of eternity upon our worship. We worship an eternal God, the three in one, Father, Son, Spirit, but worship in the Son, our High Priest, our Advocate, a Mediator between God and man, Jesus the Righteous, and pray that we may know that third person, or the Spirit of grace, within our breast. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So may our earthly frame be like that temple within of the Holy Ghost within, sanctifying us, washing us, making us ready, adorning us with the bread of heaven, the righteousness. So, dear Lord, we make our requests, and they're large, or that we may, each here may understand the meaning of the requests, and our own requests in private may be made, that thou wouldst confirm our interest, confirm thy love, we may feel the peaceable fruits of righteousness, of the travail of thy soul, to abound toward us. Dear Lord, that we may be broken in heart, we may be among thy poor sheep, the poor and the needy, who not by the way. There is a coming down of the pride of man to the foot of the cross. And pray, Lord, that we may not just observe these things, but we may be wise, and that we may also understand and be brought nigh. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Do then remember us now, we pray for this house of prayer, the deacons, the dear deacons, the church, the congregation. Keep them in unity, in tender fear one with another. May they esteem one another better than themselves. May thy word increase here and bear fruit. And may the ministry of the word be blessed. Bless all thy servants that come among the friends, to go before the friends in all the pathways of life. Open their eyes, touch their hearts. Grant that many in this place, it can be said of Zion, that this and that man was born in her. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bless the young people, the Sunday school. Grant that instruction in righteousness, that may be an abiding influence. Bless the dear babes, bless mothers and fathers, provide for our dear young friends, Lord, in all those things that they so feel to need. For the provisions of the pathway, for the provisions of the body, but Lord, the eternal covering of the soul, bless and provide for them in everything. And may our younger friends be taught of thee. And may they know thou hast gone before. Enable them to look to thee for all things. Remember all in middle life, be gracious. Remember aged friends, or one and another in senior years, some very old. Or may it to be light at evening time. Dear Lord, remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, those in particular we would bring before thee, who've known a great affliction. Pray thee for those healing mercies, and that all these mysterious dispensations may prove to be profitable, profitable unto us, and that we may have fear removed of the unknown way. We may feel and know that thou art with us, Lord, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Bless Zion, remember all thy servants. Remember our own circle of churches, the editors and secretaries. Bless thy one church in the earth, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many through the earth in sorrow, in poverty, famine, war, conflict, deprivation. Oh, remember thy one church. O Lord, do remember this land of ours, England, have mercy on us. Bring about a better order of things, we pray, in the land. Oh, bring us as a nation to repentance, open the eyes of our royal house and our leaders to their sin and shame. Oh, Lord, lengthen out our Protestant heritage, our civil liberties, our freedom to worship, our public liberties. O Lord, many are now being eroded. We cry to thee for, spare us. Thy judgments are serious upon us in the land. So bless us, Lord, in thy house this night. Or do remove every hindrance from the heart, the blindness of unbelief, O Lord, and the wicked temptations of the enemy. Subdue the monster of evil within, and wash our souls, we pray, in the precious blood of Jesus, the blood of sprinkling, of atonement may be upon us, and that our souls, Lord, may know the washing of regeneration, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God and with power. And may we worship thee in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. O dear Lord, do overcome all the poverty of the speaker. Remember us in mercy, we are a beggar still. Lord, we have to say with the prophet, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, we have to come and confess to thee in a daily matter. Oh, that we may feel, the sweetness of the word. Lord, and the blessings of thy righteousness. Oh, happy moments, they are indeed. Before the blessed cross, before thee. Oh, dear Lord, we pray for realities. We want life and reality in worship and in real religion. Dear Lord, we want living faith that knows the Son of God and to know that assurance of eternal life. We ask, dear Lord, that we may be led aright of thee this night, and that the word of God may grow in our lives and in our heart, that we may bring forth that fruit. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Hymn number 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? 585.
complete dependence on the Lord. Once more, I draw attention again to the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. The Lord Jesus says in one of his discourses, as recorded by Matthew, something like this: either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And do we bring forth, dear friends, fruit unto eternal life? Or do we bear thorns? A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. And the Lord goes on and says very searchingly, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know, fruit is grace. It is a mercy to bear fruit in the Lamb. And how can I and you bear fruit when we are so corrupt? We are corrupt trees by nature. But you know, as the Lord said, if we've been dug, if we've been dunged, and if we've been watered, and you know, it is an abiding in the vine. Again, as Matthew records, when John the Baptist preached as the forerunner of Christ, he says to them, to the Sadducees and the Pharisees that came to his baptism, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who had warned them? They weren't warned. They just came to have a good look and see what was going on and to criticize and find fault. And he says to them, bring forth therefore fruits, meet or answerable for repentance or margin amended life. Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. As you know, the Sadducees as they denied the resurrection, but they were very worldly. And the Pharisees were the opposite, they're exceedingly strict. Dear friends, fruit, how can we except we abide in the vine? Every branch in me that beareth fruit, not fruit I should say, he taketh away. Who? My Father is the husbandman, the keeper of the vineyard, my Father is. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, or he waters it, or dungs it, or he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So, dear friends, it is as we live upon Christ alone shall we bear fruit unto eternal life. And those spiritual fruits or fruit, and I say this purposely in Galatians, if you notice the wording is in the singular. He speaks of the works plural of the flesh. The works plural of the flesh. And he lists them in their manifest. And he goes through them. And as you know, the long list, which are those things which are in the heart, which a living soul is washed from, cleansed from. And, I will name them. I don't particularly want to, but I suppose we ought to. Adultery. And think of the heart, friends, not necessarily outwardly. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now in the singular, the fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you look at that word, the fruit of the Spirit. Are these things lacking? Love, joy, peace. Is peace missing from your life, from your hope? Long suffering, that's one with another. Gentleness, goodness, faith, and faith, dear friends, is a blessed thing. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Can we ask the question, is there something missing? These are the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there's no law. In other words, the law of God is given at Sinai delivered through Moses. There's no condemnation. How can there be condemnation with this fruit of the Spirit? And so forth. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, in chapter 6, as we read, we have a ground, we have a principle when we will bear fruit. Dear friends, those peaceable fruits of righteousness. By the nature of the food we eat, whether it be good or bad, so according to how we indulge, is our life. I am the living bread. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? I said in prayer, and I hinted in prayer, and I said this afternoon concerning the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. And there's some vital doctrine here. The Word was made flesh. and dwelt among us. And John says, and oh John beheld him. Oh dear friends, what a favoured apostle he was to lean upon the Lord at the Last Supper. You know how blessed leaning on his beloved. He literally leant on his beloved, leaned on his beloved. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Are we bearing fruit here of grace and of truth? He goes on to say, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And so he declares him. He speaks of he being the bread of heaven. Your fathers did eat manna. You know, the angels' food. That mysterious provision in the desert, which is scoffed at today. But how else did they survive in the desert for 40 years? And it's evident and archaeologically proven that they walked through the desert and recorded. They ate manna and they drank of the rock as a type of Christ, the rock of Horeb, which followed them. And they abode under the fiery and cloudy pillar and were led of God. Oh, but what was that manna? And then Jesus says, look, I am. It was just a representative of me. It was a type of me. It was a shadow of me. The point is, friends, are we feeding by faith? Every word, man should not live by bread alone. Not natural bread. But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And is this the bread that we are living upon? The word that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Dear friends, fruit unto eternal life. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? What a simple answer. What a blessed answer. You think of what the Lord demanded. Perfect uprightness and holiness from every one of us in this chapel. And he demanded it. And if you don't do it, you're lost. This is the work of God. That ye believe on him whom he has sent, fulfilling the law. But what of these fruits? These fruits unto eternal life. I want to come to a more practical way in a moment to apply experimentally rather than just the theory of it. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And the Spirit, the first letter in uppercase, is love. Love. What would ravage your heart tonight? What's the greatest blessing you want tonight? Well, I don't know, but there's one thing I can say. I long for a glimpse of the Lord Jesus again by faith, with a heart touched with living faith of the Spirit, and faith of being one of those fruits, or being a fruit of the Spirit. You see, the singular covers all these together as one group, whereas all those works of the flesh, plural, are manifold, but the one Spirit brings forth these peaceable fruits of righteousness. Oh, dear friends, a crucified Christ. They shall look upon me whom they pierced. The soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but I have pierced him through and through. Look upon me whom they have pierced. The soldier pierced his side. We know nothing of that soldier, but the living behold the Lamb slain of Calvary, and they look to him for salvation, to draw on the dying grace, the dying love in atonement. Crucified for our sins, friends, that makes sin exceeding sinful, sin a bitter thing. I know it's not a talking about sin's not a popular subject. And the word's hardly used these days. In fact, it's almost an insult to even name it. What a mercy if we know that that is, he was nailing our sins to his cross, to his cross. Love, the love of Christ abounding unto many. A greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you, my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, or to eat the word of grace, to feed on the word of grace, does your soul live in the Psalms? Did your soul live in the word? Joy. You know what joy there is in believing. And with joy they received the word, and as many received the word were baptized. With joy. Who can speak of the joy, friends, of the Holy Ghost, the dew of heaven? It's a mystery. Look, I can tell you about it, but I can't convey it. I can tell you the pleasure a crucified Redeemer brings, Christ revealed. Oh, what beauty even in grief. Oh, the agony of Gethsemane, being in an agony, prayed more earnestly. Friend, yet, who among us this night was on his breast, on his heart, when he poured out his soul unto death in Gethsemane's gloomy place? Who among us tonight was upon his heart? Joy. Oh, to know that joy, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Joy in believing. Peace. Oh, it's a stillness. Friends, with Jesus near, there is a stillness, a quietness. Who can explain it? I can tell you, I know by experience, there is a stillness, a joy, a peace. By the Spirit of grace alone is this brought nigh to the soul. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of love. The fruit of blessing. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He shall see it. Christ has seen that travail of his soul. Thou God seest me. Are we one of those comers unto a living stone? Long suffering. This is bearing the cross, the reproach of Christ. You know, how long suffering are we? You know, this is more a practical fruit, isn't it? How long suffering are we really? Christ, so long suffering. Oh, he has been long suffering with us. Our ill manners in the wilderness. Gentleness. Well, it's despised, isn't it, today? To be gentle is to be rubbished. Every man for himself. Gentleness. a kind bowels of mercies one to another, goodness. Friend, the gentleness of the Spirit, the gentleness of redemption, or the meekness of the Lamb, goodness, faith and so forth, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits appointed unto eternal life, the fruit of the righteousness of Christ. To come more to practical matter, oh, what mercy there is in the word. I may, when I was last here, brought these things forth, but I'll do it again. You'll have to bear with me. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. What a mercy to hear the call of return. Return. Oh, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. What words are you going to take? Friends, there's only one word I can take. Plead what he has said and done. That's all that prevails in heaven, and nothing else does. And turn to the Lord. Send to him. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. See, friends, there's the fruit of faith. Receive us graciously. There's fruit of faith there. Is faith working in the heart? Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves or sacrifices of our lips. Said this afternoon, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Christ broken. There's the acceptable sacrifice. The Lamb of God, broken for sinners, pouring his soul unto death. Assyria shall not save us, and so forth. Then God speaks, I will heal their backsliding. Oh, the grace abounding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. What a mercy. What a mercy. Why am I reading this portion? Well, there's a word at the end of it. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? Then the Lord says, I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. What does that mean? Dear friends, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Immutability of the covenant. The covenant of grace cannot perish. And all those that believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, it's not believing with the mind. It's believing with the spirit, with the heart. And it's in that heart that bears the fruit. From me, says God, is thy fruit found. From me. From me. Abide in the vine. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Friend, the life is in the flesh. And the flesh was the word eternal promised. As you can see the gracious connection, we need our hearts open to reveal or to know that correction, that connection. The word made flesh. And the word dwelt among us. It records John. We beheld his glory. You know, the glory to do his Father's will. The glory to die, the glory to rise. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace. What do you know about grace? Who among us has tasted grace? Favour. Favour. Mercy. Friend, mercy abounding. And the hymn writer says, never ceasing. Streams of mercy, never ceasing. never ceasing. From me is thy fruit found. Another thought comes, a blessed word. Again, this is concerning that returning to the Lord. It's quite, you know, it's quite often in the Word of God there is that call of return. It's in both the Old and New Testament. Haven't you been thankful for it? Have you blessed God for it? Have you blessed God for the grace in the Word and all it means? What it means in power. You know, I believe these are some of the most sweetest lines in the prophet Jeremiah. Although some blessed portions in Jeremiah, I must admit, but I don't know, this has done me good. I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. Is a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke? Well, you know what? The discipline of the yoke on an animal is they have to be broken into it. And Ephraim or Israel or the true church of God, the child of God, represented by Ephraim, he confesses he was under this chastening, under this dealings of heaven. He was like a bullock not used to the yoke. But he says this willingly, Lord, turn, thou me and I shall be turned. Oh, have you want your heart turned? For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. You turned away. Turned away from that which was bringing him destruction. You know, and if our heart does go after idols, it'll bring us destruction. The Lord will not have it for his people. I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed. Oh, dear friends, you may be ashamed this night. But yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. The reproach of my youth. Well, some of us know about that. Then the Lord speaks. Then the Lord speaks. Is Ephraim my dear son? I'm sure I spoke on these lines when I last came, but you'll have to bear with me. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Here you see the flowings of grace and love. You know, and that peace as a fruit is found in Christ. Peace toward his people. Love toward his people. Love toward his lost sheep. Peace he gave to them, and they drew and grew in that peace and that love and that long-suffering and in that joy. Oh, dear friends, the glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ to a soul will be like a heaven on earth. It's a preparation. You know, will you be a stranger in heaven? There's no strangers there. Or to live upon the vine now. It's living on his goodness, isn't it? There's nothing else to explain it. It's living on his merits, upon his goodness, upon his wonderful mercy. That's what we live on. There's no legality here, you know. There's no legal working of righteousness in us. It's a free grace. Is Ephraim my dear son? Oh, the meltings. Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. And what does the Lord say? Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. And they were at Calvary, at Gethsemane. Oh, his bowels were troubled for us, friends. He must drink the cup. Love moved him to drink the cup. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Well, the fruit of the Spirit. I've ordained you, anointed you, should go forth and bear fruit. Why, friends, how vital. Preparation to die. And those fruits like joy and peace and love and faith, they bring forth that spirit faith that has no fear in it. Perfect love, which casteth out fear. We're not speaking of filial fear, tender fear, but that legal, awful, frightening fear of the unknown, of dying, of an eternal place. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. Are we bearing fruit in the vine? It's all right for me to stand up here, I know. But we've got to be walked out. You know, the river flowings of grace do flow from Calvary. Ordained you, anointed you with the Holy Spirit, that should go forth and bring forth fruit. I suppose one thing I should have said, but in a way this is to the disciples in a gospel ministry, but I'm speaking here in a general way to the whole church. They were ordained to go forth and preach the gospel, and they should bring forth fruit in that gospel. But I'm speaking in a general way here. Your fruit should remain. Remain. You know, what if we lose the travail of his soul? What if that fruit turns to corruption? What if the fruit rots? How can the fruit not rot? It's got to be kept fresh and alive. Do you know what the freshness of the Spirit is? Is there a freshness on the Word? I'm like a green fir tree. Green fir tree. There's no change in the green fir tree. None whatsoever. It doesn't shed forth its leaves. From me is thy fruit found. Well, are we abiding in the vine? That your fruit should remain. And then he goes on to say that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, this is perhaps, it sounds an attractive and easy word. But many of the Lord's people seem to have delays in answers to their prayers. And often, it seems the Lord doesn't answer their prayers, which is something that we just can't pretend. It is actually a fact. And we have to ask according to his will. Now that's the hard part. That's where you and I fall down. But what is it to pray according to his will? How do we know his will? Are we bearing fruit in the vine to know his will? And if we abide in the vine, we shall know his will. And what I mean by knowing his will, to know that he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And we should know the will of him that sent me, that ye believe in his name. So we ask according to his will. And I know definitely I've said this here before, because I remember doing so, but how the Lord himself asked, nevertheless not according to Christ's own will, but to his Father's will in obedience. Dear friends, why are we led like this? Why is the church led in such a way as this? That there be not this licentious liberty which the flesh would bring forth. Our flesh would bring forth and mingle with the Spirit licentious liberty left to itself. But according to the fruits of grace in the vine, so we ask according to his will. Now, whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name. And there's the secret. There's the secret, friends. There lies a deep mystery and a blessed one. And of you and I, or do we know anything of the mystery of godliness? God manifest in the flesh. Oh, the deep mystery of godliness. According to his will, ye shall ask of the Father in my name. He may give it you. He may give it you. Friend, the secret of that precious name of Jesus. You see, why did I emphasize asking according to his will? It's not in the text, but I brought it in. The reason is, dear friends, that it must be, Christ must be seen as our pleading ground and our hiding place and our eternal covering. And the Lord Jesus' will made known to you is eternal life, and not just this life. And it's in this we plead for help, for eternal places, not just for blessings on earth. Now we've been brought in that glorious name to know the worth of an eternal abiding place in heaven. That is the point. What she will ask the Father in my name, an eternal name, an eternal keeping, an eternal love. And what do we ask? We'll be brought to ask for right things first. And there God will not deny. This is the name the Father loves to his children plead. And all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Or may we be brought first to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And can you trust him for the rest? That all these things shall be added unto you. How many of us really trust him? How many of us trust him in the pathway to do what is best for us? Well, see, it's all right for me to say this, isn't it? To stand up here and spout my mouth off. But dear friends, there is a walking out, a practical part. And it's a daily business. Or to fall down at the feet of the Lamb and worship him. And know according to his will that it is his will to redeem us by love and grace. When the blind men came to Jesus, they said unto him, he said to them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? What a question. They were blind. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? What a question. You know, how did they answer? According to the grace in their heart to know who Christ was. They said unto him, yea, Lord. They did believe he was able to do it. And they were that was constrained by the Spirit to believe that he was full of grace and truth. And full of grace and truth. When the leper came down from the mountain, he said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." See, there's a conflict, a will and a can. He knew he could. Was it his will? Was it his will? Oh, to abide in the vine, to know his will. A will of mercy, a will of eternal life, a will of peace. The friend of God. Abraham knew it. He was called the friend of God. Abraham walked by living faith. He bore those worthy fruits of faith unto eternal life. Now, how is it affecting us, friends? It's one thing to have a lecture about doctrinal points. How are we affected by the truth this night? Where's our soul in this? Look, your soul's in trouble. Your soul is in sorrow. There is affliction. There's loss. There's sufferings. There's unhappiness. But there is the Son of God, who is the high priest above, full of grace and truth. How are we bearing fruit in him? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. You know, you can plead it. You can get on your knees and plead it. Jesus, reveal thyself to my soul. Let me know the reality that thou art the Son of God. First ask that blessing, friend. First ask that blessing. Then all these things shall be added unto you. And let me know my interest in the finished work that thou didst perform at Calvary. And let me know the blessings of the Spirit now from heaven. May I know that I'm heard and my prayers are heard. Whatsoever. What is our whatsoever? You know, left to yourself, you know, you'll ask the wrong thing. If you don't, I will. We need grace to ask the right things first. And grace and faith that worketh by love. But you get a glimpse. Oh, let a sight, let a let Emmanuel ravage your heart with his love, with his sufferings, and you'll ask the right things. Then you'll ask the right things. And that's what we want. Psalm 22 has been quoted to me today, so perhaps I'll move away, but thinking of Psalm 69, who do we see in the psalm? Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. Who are you talking of, David? Is David talking of his own experience? Yes, in one sense, but there his experience is proven to be in the sufferings of Christ. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail when I wait for my God. Who is David speaking of? Dear friends, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, dear friends, is it your sins that caused him his throat to be dry? Did shame cover him? Did reproach cover him? Said this afternoon, so fair a face, bedewed with tears, what beauty and grief appears. He groaned, he bled, he died for you. What more, my friends, can Jesus do? What object's this that meets my eyes without Jerusalem's gate, which fills my mind with such surprise as wonders to create? Who can it be that groans beneath the cross of messy wood, whose souls are whelmed in pains of death, body bathed in blood? Is this the man? Can this be he? The prophets had foretold, should with transgressors numbered be, and for their crimes be sold. Yes, now I know, tis he. Tis Jesus, God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes that I had done. See the connection? Now, do you know anything about that? Crimes that you have done. See, personal. Or you've got no crimes, or you're good. You see, no precious Christ. What worth is Christ if you're a good lad? You've been a good boy all your life. Or a good lady. O blessed sight, O lovely form, to sinful souls like me. I'd creep beside him as a worm, and see him bleed for me. I'd hear his groans and view each wound, until with happy John, on his breast a place have found, sweetly to lie upon. Who's David speaking of? See the connection. Dear friends, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in my name, are we taught the glory, the beauty of that name? Jesus crucified, a sacrifice for sin. We brought to love him and kiss his feet, to be obedient to his will, and to trust dying grace and rising love. Dying grace and rising love, resurrection love and dying grace. We taught of the Spirit to know the glory here. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, I became a proverb to them. And so forth, and so forth. On that 22nd psalm, those blessed opening words were so uttered on the cross, yet the Jews did not recognize. But what made you and I to differ? Don't worry about the Jews, forget them. What made you to differ? Gracious experience in your own soul. Have you ever felt at times, my God? Well, friends, we don't always ask why to forsake, we? We know. I think we know. So did the Lamb of God. But seeing the Holy One, the Just One, surprise took him, began to take hold of him. You know, we know that God has no surprises. I speak carefully. But so bitter was that cup. The Lamb of God began to faint, knowing what was before him. There's a mystery of iniquity. There's a mystery of sin. I speak deep things here. There's no surprise with the Son of God. He knew all things. But when he began to taste the cup, so his soul began to faint. Such was the nature of the judgment against sin. Can you go to him, a high priest, made like unto his brethren, now interceding above? Oh, go to him, cry to him, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you, the worth of that glorious name. But I leave these things, the time has run. Well, it's a good text. Well, the word of God is good anyway, but it's only as good, you know, as it does us good. I wonder how it finds us. You know, the word of grace is only as good as it's done us good. It's easy to say, oh, it's a beautiful word. Is the beauty of the Lord upon us in the word? Is the beauty of the Lord adorning our soul in righteousness? You can say, well, that's such a beautiful word. Well, it is if the beauty of the Lord is upon your soul, adorning his righteousness unto eternal days. You have not chosen me. Tremendous words. Oh, friends, grace, grace, grace. It's all of grace, you know. But I have chosen you. Can't understand that part, you know. That is a mystery. And ordained you, anointed you, appointed you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. You know, without that fruit when we die, the fruit abiding in the vine, dear friends, we shan't get to glory. I'm not being miserable. I'm telling the truth. You know, when I come to the end of the journey, I don't know. None of us know what a day I bring forth, but I speak seriously. Oh, that then my soul could draw from the deep waters of salvation. I could feel the rising of grace within my soul forever and ever, never to be removed. That whatsoever, oh, do ask. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And friend, young friend, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, all these things shall be added unto you. Shall be. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Rosier is again expected to preach tomorrow evening. Mr. Broom is expected to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Hymn 670. United to Jesus the vine, we've life, strength and righteousness too. But this he will teach us in time. Without him we nothing can do. Our hope of performing what's right and strictly obeying our God, if not wholly built on his might, will leave us exposed to his rod. 670.
bless the word, Lord, this day. I do forgive any utterance amiss. I convey us forward this day in safety and in peace. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, Lord, and grant us peace. Bring us to our desired haven, we ask, in thy worthy name and for thy sake. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.